The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, everybody, live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D. Still to come this hour, Paul Sporer on baseball. Dan Bespris talks some NBA playoffs with us. Best audio in the biz. Just because he's started his own network doesn't mean his audio is any worse, right? Still great, I believe.
I would assume not.
I would assume so. Okay. Real quick, let's get to some tweets here. And I want to finish that conversation about the NFL schedule because I think you asked the right question at the end there. This is from B. Morianen. Not quite as unknown. We get tweets, by the way, beating the book. Always appreciate it. Not quite as unknown, but equally mesmerizing as Mike Tomlin never having a losing season. You may not have heard, oh, this is great, the announcers for the Edmonton-Vancouver game wanted everyone to know the Canucks only had two Canadian-born players every other minute. I did catch that. I watched that game last night.
Okay, I had it on a TV. Yeah. I don't think I had the audio on for more than 4 minutes. I didn't know that. I'm impressed. I'm the audience member who's glad they brought up that stat. That's amazing. I didn't know that.
John Buchagras on the call. He's great.
Mike, they really bring it up that many times?
According to Brian.
That's great.
Mike Stacks, with the NFL and teams rest advantages or disadvantages, it seems like Survivor will have plenty of upsets, and this could be one of the hardest years ever for Circa Survivor. It'll certainly have upsets. It does every year, but you're right. Maybe so. Maybe that will even make it harder than ever. And then New York Mets 18. Gil, I did not hear you mention Jets for 3 games in 10 days, which is how they start the season, aside from the 4-17, which you did mention they have in October. My apologies. Jets are part of that as well. So, I mean, there's all these kinds of quirks, and you asked the right question. We'll wrap this up by saying this because I don't want to belabor it anymore, but you asked the right question, which is, okay, this is a kind of thing where you should have it color-coded, right, or you should know, circled, when these anomalies, and they're less and less of an anomaly was the point that we're making, but when these circumstances happen in the NFL schedule, because it is something you should know for your handicapping. Now, is it the end-all, be-all? It is not. It is one thing of many. It always is. If it were that easy, we'd all be rich off this stuff, and it would be easy-peasy, and, you know, we'd all go... What's the Kent Beatrice in DC used to say? We'd all go live on an island with a tropical drink. But it's not that easy. It's just one element. And so you made a great point off air, which is how do you on air, you said, does it affect your futures bets? I think the point you made off air was the even better one, which is for you. And I think this applies to most people. And I think it does for me, too. It's more the week to week where it comes up for me. Because do I regret my Bengals plus 175 to win the AFC North? I don't, because I still think the Bengals are good enough in the collective of 17 games to overcome such a thing, right? Now, it's not like as beautiful as a 162-game baseball schedule, where the reason I love to make baseball season wins is because if your handicap is right, you will overcome negative variance. Obviously, with 17 games, your margin,
it's a little tighter. Yeah, it's tighter.
Your margin is much thinner. But no... I think you're right. I think it applies more in season for me.
Yeah, I think it definitely does for me. And as like you're talking about, I don't want this point to get lost. Like, because this is definitely, I go into the season for both season prep work of looking at win totals and futures before we go into the season. You're gathering all this information, right? And then you're making sure to save it and highlight things week to week that you need to be aware of throughout the season from that preseason homework, like we're talking about right now. I think you made the point of some of this stuff would more likely bring me off making a bet than lead me to making one in a win total situation or something like that before the season. But it's definitely stuff you got to be aware of week to week. And as I'm like talking now, I'm realizing this is also, I guess, very similar to how I approach the NBA. So, you know, the rest situations are something you take advantage of often throughout the week, throughout the course of the season, but you're not really adding those up before the season.
Right. And those I think are like, this is definitely newish.
Yeah. Right. Correct. Because you keep adding more Thursdays and prime time standalone games.
That's the difference, right? In the NBA, everybody knows when those 4-7 days or whatever it is come up, right? Oh, they're playing a back-to-back 4-6 days or whatever. This is it's getting worse. Like, these schedules are getting worse in terms of the inequity. And so that's just the point of all this. And again, a shout out to our buddy Warren on that. Can we do we're going to have Spore on baseball later.
And I'd I'd like to say, like, okay, the Christmas stuff is going to be more of a one-off and it will come back down. But I can't say that when they're going out and adding different media partners every year. I mean, the more media partners you add, they're going to want their own primetime game or their own slot, creates more of these situations.
You are beholden to them. If Netflix is paying you $250 million or whatever that number is, I believe it's $250 million. They have a right, right?
Yeah.
They don't want, I'll use my commandeers, they don't want Washington
right
playing Carolina that night.
Yeah, I'm not buying the Jaguars season package, you right. know what I mean? No, like, I want a primetime game with good teams.
Little Guardians update, because it is May 21st. Look at this, Kelly. The Guardians handicap, Guardians win last night. They beat the Mets 3-1. Little interleague action in Cleveland. Start a series with the Mets. By the way, I'm betting the Guardians on a nightly basis with these, and it's...
Are you serious?
They make you so much money, it has nothing to do with the overall bet. Right. The overall bet this month on the Guardians, remember we lost the 65-1 in dramatic fashion, to say the least. This month it was 16-1. I went right back to the Guardians well, because the schedule absolutely... from my handicap dictated that I should. And here are the Guardians. They're in fifth place right now. They're 12-7. And they got 9 ball games left. By the way, those are the games left in the month on the right-hand side. I did it at Circa. The only other shop that had it was William Hill Caesars. Circa has a tiebreaker of fewest wins if you end up with the most wins, followed by run differential. At William Hill Caesars, it is a dead heat situation. Yankees lost last night. That was the sort of bigger development. Yankees were up on the Mariners 4-1 in the ninth, and Clay Holmes gacked it for the Yankees. And I was going nuts by myself. Just like, yes! It also occurred to me that even if there was an audience there, they would wonder, why are you so happy about this mid-May result? Don't ask.
Oh, yeah. That was me at the bar celebrating when Jaden Daniels went number two, and everybody's like, you a Commanders fan? And I'm like, no. What town am I in? How do people not have bets on these things?
I saw it when I was rooting on April 30th. The Magic girl was like, oh, you're just rooting on your team. When I scared her, I was like, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Phillies, Dodgers, Yankees, though, all have 14 wins. Phillies are at the top. Phillies won March, April. Remember that. They won that with 20 wins. Everybody else, like the Guardians at 19. Phillies are in first place right now, 14-3. Dodgers and Yankees also have 14 wins. And then it's the Royals and our Guardians at 12 wins. So again, as well as the Guardians are doing, and again, the schedule gets easier as the month goes. They're going to have a lot more wins here. But will it be enough to topple the Phillies, Dodgers, and Yankees, who just refuse to lose baseball games? And even when the Yankees did yesterday, it was in the most dramatic of fashion. So that's where we stand right there. We're going to have guests coming up. Do you want to have the Lenny Kravitz conversation real quick here before
sure,
we
Sure, yeah.
Okay, we have to have this because Kelly and I have to purge this from our... So I arrive here. We always talk about random things. Yesterday it was EDC. Today it was... Kelly goes, did we have this conversation about Lenny Kravitz? Because American Woman was playing here. And I said, no, we didn't. But I've had, I think, what you're about. Tell me. So tell everybody what you said.
Why is Lenny Kravitz so famous?
Okay.
So, I mean, that's the basic. That's the basis.
You pondered this on your own.
Yeah, I was in the car running errands like a couple weeks ago. Another, you know, a song came on, and I don't know if it was American Woman, Fly Away, whatever. And I'm on the phone with a friend, and I brought it up, and I'm like, by the way, like, why is Lenny Kravitz so famous? Is this like, is he, I know he's like, he's a very good looking dude who's been around for a while. Like, I know that's a part of it. But, like, is that all of it? What is the answer? So and I don't know. And it drives me nuts.
Independently, I had gone to a Lenny Kravitz show here at the Chelsea, at the Cosmo, about 4 years ago. My buddy Tommy, my buddy Ray. And after the show, we spent at least an hour on this very subject. We're like, all right, that was great and everything. Where does he fit in the American cultural tapestry? How did he get to be so famous? Because when we went through this off on a break... I can name you 8 Lenny Kravitz songs, and then it falls off a cliff. So he's done just enough.
And I'm shocked you can name that many.
Yeah, I can name 8. And you could name 8 if you heard him too. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I know that song. But it's not 18.
Right.
It's 8. And so he's done just enough over time, and he has a look. Now, Drew Dinsick, we talked to Drew Dinsick about this off air.
This is fair to bring up.
Drew's theory was that he was, when he was younger, he came to the prominence at a time where it was like he was like the Prince alternative.
It's like taking over for Prince.
Prince might have been a little too weird for some, but Lenny Kravitz was more palatable for some.
Yeah.
That's one theory.
Music style, it makes sense. I get it.
Also, by the way, had a famous mom who was on the Jeffersons, Roxy Roker, had a famous wife, the beautiful Lisa Bonet, no longer married, and a daughter, Zoe Kravitz, who's famous. So he comes from a famous family.
Right. There's like that kind of American history family there.
Right.
I know he's done some acting. I feel like everybody's going to tweet at us like these one little things.
Here's the right.
But when you combine all of that together.
It's fascinating. How
it's fascinating
become?
To me. Yes.
Yes.
Like, I understand everything combined. It is a fair amount, but I still don't understand why he's that famous.
Let me conclude it this way. Who dislikes Lenny Kravitz? Nobody.
Good. That's a great point.
There is no negative reaction to Lenny Kravitz. There is no one sitting out there right now. We're about to find out, I guess. But my guess is that there's nobody out there going, I hate that guy.
And Drew brought up how he was in Hunger Games how he thought that spread it to the new generation.
I don't buy that. Yeah, I don't buy that either.
Like, I think he got a gig like that because he was already famous for some reason I don't understand.
But he's just, there's a few others like this, right? Like Sade. How is she so huge to one demographic but unknown to another? Neil Diamond in the other direction, right? Like, half of society knows him, but the other half doesn't even know who he is. It's fascinating stuff. We'll come back. Paul Spohr, coming up.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Have you checked out the new VSiN.com? Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. And a quick glance today, Kelly, at the front page. WNBA best bets from Tyler Shoemaker. JVT is all over the Pacers-Celtics series, which, of course, starts tonight. Kelly's got some Mackinnon trends coming up on this.
That's right.
Zachary Cohen on the NBA playoffs best bets. JVT's also doing some first five inning bets in baseball. It's all there. Anything you could possibly want, tennis and beyond, at vsin.com. Adam Burke even talking NFL survivor pools already in May. I like it. I like it a lot.
JVT and Zach's NBA write-ups are home runs.
Second to none.
Yeah, like, seriously, they are so good.
All right. Conference finals begin tonight. Pacers and Celtics at the Garden. Not the old Boston Garden, but the TD Garden. You have some Steve Mackinnon trends from the website that you'd like to get into?
A couple that jumped out to me today. I did want to bring up because I did think a couple of them were interesting. Okay, 7 of the last 8 conference final game ones have gone over the total, producing 231.9 points per game, surpassing posted totals by over 17 points per game.
All right, let's stop that
and
let's ask a question. Do you think there's anything to that, or do you think that's random?
I think that's one I would not usually read into as much, but oh my gosh, is that a lot and over by a lot.
Say it
7
again.
Of 8 over in game one of conference finals.
The last 4 years, in other words.
Yes. And those gone over the total by 17 points per game. And we're also in a postseason where we're seeing historic margin of victories in these games.
Yeah. I wonder.
Drew brought up, and I just thought that note was interesting, especially since Drew liked the over tonight. It didn't even really have it close by his numbers. Yeah.
As you know, I am not a trends guy by default, but I'll try to think through why that might be.
And you always try to explain. Is there an explanation?
And the one that I would come up with is that one team will have a much bigger rest advantage, theme of the show, apparently, than the other, because the other team will have grinded out a series while the other team had coasted, let's say. Because you're talking about typically a number one seed will get there and maybe not a two. That maybe one team is gassed for game one. So maybe there is an explanation.
And I will say, coming out of the weekend, coming off of Sunday, first initial thoughts for game ones were overs and betting against the teams that just played in game sevens. So I like it is, you know, I'm not saying you know, it's kind of like we just talked about, right, with the NFL schedule stuff. It needs to be a piece of a reason of why you're making it. That shouldn't be the entirety of it. Yeah. Zigzag theory. We haven't really talked about this a lot through the NBA playoffs this year. Gets brought up every year by everybody. This note from Steve I thought was interesting. Conference finals last 3 years, okay? Teams coming off outright losses are 22-16 straight up, 25-12 ATS in the 38 follow-up games. So it's just, it's one of those, I'm not a big subscriber to the zigzag theory. Like you said, there's always, why does it, that's what always makes sense to me. Team A wins, Team B loses. It's always Team B that's got to be like, all right, well, we got to go to the back to the drawing board. What did we do wrong? Well, what are we going to throw at them differently next game?
There's also that, and then the market probably over-adjusts by a point or two, right? That the sentiment creates an over-adjustment in the next game's line.
So I would say maybe in the past, I don't think you get that much anymore.
Yeah, but this is what? This is just the recent
history. This is the last 3 years. That's what I'm saying. I don't think you're getting that as much anymore. Because we do see zigzag built into numbers sometimes.
I'm just trying to explain your trends here. I'm just trying to come up with a theory.
I hear you. I thought those were interesting, though, and at least worth mentioning. Because I do think, I didn't bet it, but like initial reaction was, and I'm sorry, Drew was talking about over in the Mavericks-Timberwolves game. I did screw that. Not tonight, tomorrow night for that one.
Yes.
But for me, it was, I looked overs both in both those both the games. I didn't play either one of them. But, man, that's the only way I would go in game ones here. Tonight, I'm with Drew. This is a tough ask by the Pacers coming off for game one. I didn't lay the full game. I did lay 5.5 first half. Celtics have been the best first half ATS team all season. Given them the time to prep, sitting at home with this team, Pacers just coming off that game 7 on Sunday. I think it's going to be tough for them to come out firing to it on all cylinders right away. So I did lay the first half. He brought up the team total over for Celtics. Seemed like a safe bet to me, too. That's 115.5. I liked that. We can go through everything in this series. I mean, the biggest thing is these are two of the most efficient offenses going up against each other. The big difference is it's one of the top defenses against one of the worst defenses in the NBA on the Indiana side. And there's some of these things where you get, like Pacers, their strongest asset is what they can do in transition. Celtics have one of the best transition defenses. So I'm still with on the side more with you, Gil, of I think Pacers are still going to win a game or two in this series, but it's just because they're so efficient offensively. I do think the shooting is going to overwhelm the Celtics at some point when the Celtics probably have an off night as well.
The unanimity of the Celtics love troubles me. Like, I don't know. And you might be right in the end. Maybe they do roll in this series. Maybe they do have an easy time of it. But I just, the willingness to get back on the Celtics train at every turn is always fascinating to me. This, by the way, is from Michael Montesano. He says, saw a potential price difference at DK with the Pacers and Celtics. If anyone likes the Pacers plus 2.5 games, so you're talking about getting it to at least 6 games, right? That line is plus 130. Over 5.5 games, which is also getting it to at least 6 games, is plus 145. So as we always say, not only shop from book to book, thank you, Michael Montesano, for that, not only shop from book to book, but shop within the same book for different markets that are essentially saying the same thing. Now, obviously, the over 5.5 bet can lose if the Pacers or Celtics sweep or win in 5. But just saying, if anyone likes the Pacers, that's one way to look at it. By the way, he also adds in a subsequent text, I should point out, and Lenny Kravitz keeps himself in tip-top shape and just looks like the coolest dude you want to hang out with.
Yeah. All facts. That's a fact.
That's a fact.
I would hang out with him right now.
Yeah. So what's your bet for tonight in this game?
First half, Celtics laid first half with the Celtics. I think a team total over on the Celtics is a good look, too. I'd rather play that than laying the full points just because the Pacers offense is always going to be a factor. So I don't think there's going to be many times I'm going to be rushing to lay these huge numbers. I mean, like Drew is, and I did in the first half. I mean, it's first half versus full game. So can't make that big of an argument against it, but some of these big spreads got backdoor written all over it to me. Like this team could be down 20 easily, shoot their way into covering late in the fourth quarter. And then series-wise, I bet Celtics in five. I would say it's going to end 5 or 6. I'd be shocked if it was 4-0. I'd be shocked if it went 7.
Okay. I got the Pacers in 7 at 17-1. Should I, because we have guests coming up, should I Ron Burgundy through all these tweets? This should be interesting.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
I always like this. Putting on my Evel Knievel helmet. We get tweets at the end of the way. Sam Ginsburg. You need the players union in the NFL to get this done, but since it surely brings in more money and it doesn't matter if the Super Bowl is February 4th or February 24th, they should go to 20 weeks, 18 games, 2 byes, yeah. 1 preseason game.
Agreed.
Give a bye the week before each team plays on a Thursday.
Completely agree. Copy the CFL again. Work in a couple bye weeks. I'm there. Before we go, so I know you're going to go Lenny Kravitz. The other one I think that would Pacers Celtics with the series, I'm late 5.5 for the first half tonight. I don't think I'm going to get involved very much with the side in the series, Gil, because I think it's going to be a great live betting series. With these offenses and how potent they are, I think it's going to be a great live betting series.
If you are watching and you can isolate yourself from these games, it will be a great situation. Jamie Leva, tuning in late today, and I hear Gil mention Lenny Kravitz and Paul Spohr did not have that combination on the bingo card. Robert Busa, married Lisa Bonet. I said that. Mr. Masterline, I hate Lenny, LOL. James Sott, with all the Derby Preakness talk, when I see the Guardians graphic, I flash to horse racing and start yelling to myself, come on, Biscuit, meaning the Guardians, down the stretch they come. Chance Copperpot, Lenny Kravitz, much better than Pearl Jam. His first album, Let Love Rule, was a classic. There you go.
Okay, all right.
You know Let Love Rule, that's one of the 8 songs. The numbers, guys. 8 songs? 8? Are you going to go my way, American Woman, the one that goes something, something, something till it's over? That's all I got.
With
Kravitz,
these guys.
Meh. Chris Heath, do you think Lenny Kravitz would be as popular if his name was Mike Smith? Great question. Great question. Lenny Kravitz was part of the Dave Chappelle draft, wasn't he? Leaflet.
Yeah.
Trip Tepper, American Woman is a cover song. It is, by the way. So I consider that a ding on his resume. Kravitz feels like a music industry creation more than an artist who emerged organically. I've been confused by his popularity as well. He still built a hell of a career. And therefore, ergo the conversation.
I agree with all of that.
Yeah.
I think that was...
Doug Wedge, Mama Said was even better. Got some Lenny Kravitz votes in there. We can go on and on with them. It's an interesting thing, too, because you also made a great point, because when I brought up Sade and Neil Diamond, they have their cult following.
The answer to those is it's a cult following for their music.
Lenny doesn't even have that.
Does he? And I just don't know about it. I don't think he does.
I'm sure Paul Spohr will have absolutely no opinion on this subject, but we'll talk to him about baseball on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
So great. I asked Spohr on the break what he thinks of Lenny Kravitz. He goes, in what capacity? For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. You should know about it. Normally priced at $240. You can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months. Of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
It's spring sales time here at VSiN. Gil, we're slashing prices left and right. 2 months for free. Got to use that promo code, though. ANG.
A used car salesman. That's the man. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander. That's Kelly Bidlin. Slashing prices. Again, promo code ANG on that. This gentleman joins us from Austin, Texas, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Sporer, Sporer. His name is Paul Sporer. He works at Fangraphs, podcast is Sleeper in the Bust. What's happening, Paulie?
Not too much, Gil. Thanks so much for having me on. Good to join y'all.
Great to see you as always. We begin the segment by simply asking the question, give me an awards bet that you like right now.
I'll tell you what, I'm kind of getting in on this Kyle Tucker for MVP situation.
Oh.
Which is, you know, like fifth or sixth off the board right now. You know, his odds have moved up, but not to a crazy point. I'm kind of selling myself on the idea that Houston might be able to make a run too. They're playing pretty well. You know, that they had a point here before this recent run where their record historically is one that you don't come back from. And so they're still in a situation where, like, it's going to be tough. But they're getting their horses back. They're playing better. The offense has never really been the problem. It's been the pitching. So if they make a big run, I know, you know, the narrative plays a bigger deal than it probably should. I'd rather it just be on the performance. But you throw in the fact that Kyle Tucker's been amazing, and if they make the run and he's a huge part of it, I really like where he's at. He's been an excellent player for quite some time, but I think he's finally kind of taking center stage this year with, you know, Bregman kind of coming back down a little bit. Altuve maybe not at his best. Alvarez still a god, but Tucker's always been kind of gotten short shrift there. So I love what he's been doing this year, Kyle Tucker.
Well, a couple things. You match with Mark Borchard, who said earlier this week he likes Kyle Tucker for American League MVP. Right now, DraftKings +850. Is that enough for you to bet him?
Yeah, I think I could get there because, again, that's fifth on the board there. So, you know, it's gotten a lot shorter, but he's playing brilliantly. I kind of am surprised that he's not, you know, behind Soto, like right behind Soto. But then you got Witt, Judge, Gunner, and then there's Tucker. Now, those other three are fine. Got no issues with them, but I'll take Tucker at +850, sure.
Now, the American League West is the division with the first place team that has the worst record among the first place teams, if you will. The Seattle Mariners are 26-22. They have a 2-game lead over the defending champion Texas Rangers. Houston is third. They're only 5 games back. They're 21-27. By the way, their run differential is -8. They probably should be closer to 500 than 21-27. But I look at their American League West price, and it's not like you're getting anything, right? Because that's apparent to everybody. It's only +260. You're not taking a shot at that, are you?
No. Yeah. Like you said, it's obvious that they're still in the mix, that they're kind of hanging around. But we're not jumping on that with the team right now. But they're just a team that I was close to ready to move on from. But now I've said, let's relax on that, just because, like you said, the West has not run away and hidden from the Astros. They've kind of kept them in it. So way to go, rest of the AL West. We could have buried the Astros, but no, you had to let them linger.
All right. So we're about 50 games into the Major League Baseball season, and we have a handful of teams, and when I say handful, I mean exactly 5, that are over the 30-win mark. Yankees have 33 wins. Guardians have 31. Royals have 30. Phillies have 34, and the Dodgers have 33. One of those teams is very much not like the other in the Royals. Maybe two of those teams in the Guardians and the Royals are not like the other three, the Phillies, the Yankees, and the Dodgers. If I said to you right now, all right, that's a pace that would have them all over 100 wins, obviously. How many of those actually get there?
Two,
you said?
Yeah, two. I'll take, you know, the Dodgers is kind of the obvious one. And then probably one of the East teams. You're probably right that the Guards and the Royals are the two that don't quite belong. And, you know, the Royals had some upstart love coming into the year from a lot of folks. So I'm sure there's people out there pounding their chest saying, hey, I was on this. And I believe that there's plenty of people that are on them pre-flop. But you still look at that team and you're like, this can be a playoff team, this Royals team. Sure. Do I buy it as a 100 win ball club? I don't really see how it gets there. And then with Cleveland, again, I think you could make a valid case for any of the AL Central teams to win it, except for the White Sox at the beginning of the year. So there might have been some pre-flop Cleveland folks, too. Of course, you know, obviously you've had your situation with them related to the first month. They're a good team, but they're not winning the way they've used to. I look at that club and I don't see 100 dubs. So, yeah, I think the Dodgers and one of the East teams, the Yankees or Phillies, would be the two that are going to reach it.
Yeah, by the way, just to be accurate, the Royals would be on pace for 99 wins, not exactly 100. So I just want to be clear on the math there. People can bet on lots of stuff, including the team that ends up with the fewest wins. We have a lot of folks who are guests on the show and who are listeners who have bets in this. Right now, the White Sox have the fewest wins, 14-34. They also have the worst run differential in all of baseball at -105 by a bit of margin. However, they have pursuers, if you will, pursuers in quotes. The Rockies have 15 wins. The Marlins have 16 wins. The Angels have 19. The Athletics have 19. The Reds have 19. So, I mean, there's a bunch that are within, a 5-iron away, if you will. Who do you think ends up as the worst team in all of baseball?
I think it's still going to be the White Sox, though.
Still.
Yeah, because they're going to trade down everything or trade everything that isn't nailed down, like everything. So all those other teams don't necessarily have that incentive to get rid of everything that somewhat matters. I mean, I'm not even so sure that they should keep Garrett Crochet. I'm not even sure he'll be around for the next good White Sox team. He's probably the one that kind of rises above being traded, though. But, like, you know, Eric Fetty, been pitching pretty decently. They've had a few hitters doing some things. There's no way Tommy Pham's going to be sticking around. I think it's time for maybe, like, an Eloy to be shopped around. Gavin Sheets, Ben Intendi. Like, these guys aren't even that great. But, like, everything's going to be traded there. A lot of those other bad teams that you're talking about, they're not as incentivized to trade everything. I mean, take even a team like Oakland, who, you know, just a week ago was like, hey, they're playing kind of decent ball.
Yeah.
I was someone saying that. Then they go out and lose an entire week. And, well, that'll change your record. But yeah. I'm not even sure that they're, like, incentivized to trade, say, Brent Rooker necessarily, right? He's a little bit of a late breakout, age 29, but now into a second great season. If he's on the White Sox, I think he's 100% gone. Being on the A's, I'm not so sure. So I think just with the way the White Sox situation is, everything must go, and they will continue to be the worst team in baseball, in my opinion.
All right, this is the most fun question of the segment. People can still bet on it. I love that these are up at certain books throughout the season. Maybe not throughout the season, but they're certainly up still now. The Exactas, which I bet in the NL Central, 1-2. I bet the Cubs Brewers 1-2 at 14-1 odds before the season started. I'm going to go through every division. You tell me how it's going to end 1-2. You ready for this? AL East, go.
It's going to be Orioles, Yankees.
Love it. AL Central.
Going to be Royals, Tigers. You heard me.
Homer. AL West.
Yep. It's going to be Rangers, Astros, and that's so annoying.
Yeah. NL East. This will be interesting.
The Braves will catch the Phillies, but it'll be Braves, Phillies.
NL Central.
I like yours. I'm a Brewers guy. I would consider myself, but I like yours. I think Cubs, Brewers. I think the Brewers are happy to get in the dance, whereas I think the Cubs really want the division. I think that little bit of difference there might make it a nice Cubs, Brewers there for the top two.
All right. These are all bettable, by the way, not only Exactas, but people can still bet 1, 2, 3, 4s in a lot of these divisions. And then the NL West, Dodgers and...
I think the D-backs can get back in it, but wow. I'm going to go
Padres.
I'm going to go Dodgers, Padres. I do think the D-backs are lurking, but I'm going to go Dodgers, Padres. I'm going to stick with what's there right now in the West.
Yeah, Padres, Giants, and Diamondbacks all in a cluster in the middle of that division. Yes, sir.
What's the chalkiest option there?
Braves, Phillies has to be. Yeah, got to be.
Oh, yeah. Braves, Phillies, and then maybe is Dodgers, Padres the next chalkiest, or because those other teams are so close?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the next chalkiest or not. I'll have to check on that. But clearly Braves, Phillies. I would think Orioles, Yankees might have a shot at being the next, actually, as well. Real quick, DFS on the way out. What do you got today?
Well, I think we have a game in Colorado. No, we don't. It's Colorado is at Oakland. So, I haven't done a bunch of DFS yet today. I had an early meeting. So probably, and I'm still in on Kyle Bradish. He hasn't really gone super deep yet, but his price is kind of down over at DraftKings. I like Gavin Stone. He's a cheap Dodgers pitcher. You can try to get an easy win. So I'm going to go cheaper pitching and then kind of spread out my hitting. I don't have a ton of great DFS tips yet. Like I said, I haven't dove into the board. So apologies on that.
No, no problem. By the way, Rangers Astros is also pretty chalky. The long shot is, of course, Paul putting in his Homer Tigers and in there.
They need some offense, but I'm telling you, the pitching can definitely do it. I am being a homer on that one. I will freely admit it. But if Colt Keith, Spencer Torkelson get going, they can do it.
You're a homer, but I still love you. Thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Dan Brespers on the NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're getting close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings, listen up to this, new customers get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it does not hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Jason H11, if Lenny Kravitz called a sushi place, could he get a reservation? Yes, he could. Jeff Holdorf, Lenny Kravitz, meh. Clearly no Barry Manilow. Now there is a cult. Barry Manilow's in town, Kelly.
Yeah, but like that's another one. It's got the answer.
By the way, have you seen Manilow in concert?
No.
You gots to go. It's a gots to go situation.
Where's he at? Westgate?
Westgate. Gots okay. to go.
He's always there, right?
I would know. Robert Busa. African-American rocks are great. Remember Living Color, awesome band. Can you name one rocker or group that wasn't great? That's a different story. Coach Brian wants to know if we're going to talk some college baseball conference tournament games this week. Yeah, we'll get let's get Grissom on here.
Yeah.
Talk some of that. James Lloyd, the worldwide leader, got to the Lake Show finally. All we need is a cowboy talk to complete the bingo card. And Shine the Professor chiming in. There's one guy who probably does not like Lenny Kravitz, Terrence Trent D'Arby. Oh, I like this. Both were Princess alternatives, but TTD was far superior but couldn't follow up his great debut. Kravitz slid in, the rest is history. That's an interesting theory. Are you at your tender age of 17 years old, Kelly, do you remember Terrence Trent D'Arby?
Not at all.
Sign Your Name, Wishing Well. He was a monster. Like, there was a moment in time where people thought this guy was going to be the next Prince.
What are we talking, like 1991?
Correct. Exactly, I think, 1991. Somewhere around there, or late 80s, maybe. Late 80s, early 90s, I can't remember exactly the year. But he ended up changing his name, by the way, to Sananda Maitreya. And he actually had some great jams that way, but they were so obscure that no one even...
Yeah, I don't even know who that is.
Oh, he's he was phenomenal talent. It's an interesting theory. Ladies and gentlemen, this is always a monster day when we're able to book the great Dan Bespris on the show, because that means his kids are behaving. Dan Bespris joins us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And Dan, first of all, I want to say hello, but I look at your byline now and it says founder and host of the Old Man Squad Sports Network. And of course, you can follow Dan at Dan Bespris, B-E-S-B-R-I-S. What happened?
Well, you know, I got tired, honestly, Gil, of you asking how long I was going to be the assistant GM at my previous job.
At Sports Ethos, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This is just an opportunity for me to go do something on my own. I thought it would be a lot of fun. So far, it really has been. A lot of folks have reached out to be a part of it. It's just an opportunity for me to focus on broadcasting, podcasting, that side of an operation, which is always kind of, has been my passion.
Yes.
And so now I can just yell into the ether for a few extra hours every day, because what could go wrong with that, right?
More broadcasting from Dan Bespris makes for a better broadcasting world. I really mean that, man. I'm glad to hear that about you. Okay. That said, you have been watching the NBA. Were you as stunned by the results this past Sunday as everybody else?
The Minnesota and Denver game, yes. The Indy-New York game, not as much. I mean, New York was down, the entire starting lineup by the end of that? The war of attrition was lost. I was, frankly, pretty impressed that the Knicks continued fighting as long as they did. They simply had to play their five best guys 48 minutes every ball game, and you kind of knew that eventually that was going to catch up to them. You hoped it wouldn't be so soon, I guess, but that one not so surprising. Minnesota winning in Denver on the road with a second half altitude comeback. That was very impressive. And I wish that I could say that I saw that coming, because then I'd be the damn smartest person in the room. But I did not. But you may recall that before the season started, I did come on this show and say that I liked Minnesota a lot more. I also said I didn't think the Thunder were as good as they were, so I got to take the hit on that one. But I was pretty high on the Wolves at the start of the season, and this still way, way better than I could have ever expected.
All right, let's start with these exactas. Kelly, I want you to chime in as well. These are the eight combinations. We'll do it from long shot to short shot. Pacers to beat the Mavericks, 55-1. Pacers to beat the T-Wolves, 45-1. Mavs to beat the Pacers, 25-1. T-Wolves to beat the Pacers, 15-1. Now we get to the shorter ones. Mavs to beat the Celtics, plus 750. T-Wolves to beat the Celtics, plus 370. And Celtics to beat the Mavs, plus 240. And the shortest of them all, Celtics to beat the T-Wolves, plus 150. Give me your best one, Dan. If you had to bet one, what would you bet?
Oof, that's a tough one. How about Celtics to beat the Mavs at plus 240? I can't see the Pacers beating the Celtics, so I've just wiped those off the bingo card here. Assuming I put the Celtics in the finals, then you're looking at just the top four, which I know is not as exciting as the bottom four. And then you're thinking, okay, can anybody beat the Celtics? I guess you could take Wolves to beat the Celtics at plus 370 is kind of like the second choice there. So option two and option three on the board are the two that I would look at. If you're ignoring, can you call it chalk at plus 150? I guess that's, I don't know. I'm trying not to pick the favorite of them. Is that fair?
No, that's fair. I do have the Pacers in seven. I made a long shot bet on that in this series. But I would say T-Wolves to beat the Celtics, plus 370. Kelly, yeah. By D-L-O-N, what do you got?
yeah, one of those two. I hope it's the Mavericks and Celtics, though, because I got the Mavericks bets. So
you'll take Mavericks to beat anybody.
That's yes, I would. Yes, okay. I'll take Mavericks to beat anybody.
You said you don't. It sounded like you don't give the Pacers a shot here at all. Is there any bet?
I can't. I like the Pacers. Just sort of like the only way you're hoping they go through. And Gil, I know you said in seven is if the Celtics do a Celtics thing and kind of take their foot off the gas for too long. I just can't see that happening against a team that's not as gritty as the kind of clubs that can exploit that with Boston. Now, Porzingis being out is a factor, but I still think the Celtics could overcome that. Plus, the Pacers just went seven. You've got that thing looming over it, and I'm trying not to go too far on tangential thoughts here.
Would you lay 10 on the Celtics tonight? Or would you say stay away from that as well?
Probably a stay away. I'm probably more inclined to look at Dallas in game one if you're going to sort of fade a team coming off of game seven.
So Dallas plus the points you like.
That one of the two game ones, if I'm looking to try to take a position against a team that went seven, I'd prefer Mavericks over Pacers in game one. Although, over Celtics in game one, just because laying 10 is a truckload in the playoffs in particular.
Do you like the Mavericks in that series against the T-Wolves, or you still like the T-Wolves?
See, now that's where I spent like 35 minutes last night stewing in bed, my heart racing, because I was like, I know we're going to talk about this on the show tomorrow, and I don't have a strong opinion on it. Finally, I ultimately fell asleep because life was very exhausting. yes, I think I still lean Timberwolves for the series, even though I think the Mavericks have a really good shot to get game one or at least keep it real tight. I just think the Wolves, from a matchup standpoint, I didn't know the Wolves had the horses to match up with Denver as well as they did defensively. I think the Mavericks pose different challenges, but, and I hate to say this word, but I think from a defensive standpoint, they're slightly easier challenges just because of the way their offense operates. There are fewer things to think about when you're guarding the Mavericks as opposed to guarding the Nuggets. And yeah, you know, this is a little bit of a remedial way to handicap it, but if the Wolves can appropriately strategize for a Jokic-led offense, I think they can do it for a Luka-led offense as well.
I think that is very well said, and that is why I believe that last series, and I said it during the series, the Nuggets-T-Wolves, to me, was the NBA Finals. And I really think the Timberwolves, the reason to me that the Celtics are the short shot is because they play the Pacers, right?
And yes,
because
absolutely.
That's why. It's not because they're better than the T-Wolves if you put them out on the court. As currently constituted, Porzingis obviously changes that. But I agree with what you said. To me, this ought to be, and obviously Luka's going to have a say in this. Luka and Kyrie will both have a say in this. But this ought to be, at least when you look at it that way, an easier proposition. Now, easier said than done, obviously, because basketball is basketball, but I like where you're thinking on that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if Luka gets nuts, then anything is possible, and he has been known to do that from time to time. But I'm just thinking from a game planning standpoint, he's a wizard passing-wise, but they don't move the way that the Nuggets do. And the Wolves somehow, I have no idea how they did it, game planned for the Nuggets, and they ran it, and they were effective, and they shut them down. The stat that the Nuggets scored under 100 points a dozen times all year, and half of those were against the Wolves, I thought said everything about how good defensively Minnesota is. So, yes, I still think they win the series, even if I think game one, probably the hardest game for them. The way they sneak by is because the Mavs have actually been historically bad in game ones under Jason Kidd. So, hey, you know, the scales of justice, but you guys know me. I like to look for opportunities to fade teams off a seven-game series, and that would be the side I look of the two remaining.
I'm with Dan for game one, though. I like Mavericks game one. That's their best shot to win one in Minnesota.
You shall see. That is tomorrow night, Pacers and Celtics game one tonight. Dano, founder and host of the Old Man Squad Sports Network, his new podcast network. Congrats, man. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, guys.
At Dan Bespris for all the information there. Gojo and Golic next on radio. Best Bets next on the TV side. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.